Hi, hello, and welcome to the Coffee Pot, the podcast with good entertainment for coffee nerds and for all coffee lovers. Today we will do it a little bit different as normally, because the podcast normally is in German. But we have a very interesting guest from Manchester here today, and that's the reason why we switched to English for this episode. Hope that is fine for everybody. Probably I find some time to do a translation on the transcript afterwards, but definitely no promise on that. I'm Chris, and also here with me is my good friend Lars. So hello, Lars.
Hello, Chris. Nice to meet you.
Nice to have you here. Today we have a topic about the Manchester Coffee Archive and freezing coffee. And also with us here, and I'm very thrilled to have Tom here, is Tom. Welcome, Tom.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being there. As good tradition in this podcast, before we start to dig a little bit deeper into frozen coffee, we normally start with talking a little bit about the coffee we are drinking currently, and probably it would be nice, Lars, if you like to start.
Yeah, I'm taking the takeover to start. Today, I like we do in the episode, I put frozen coffee out of my storage, and I had one from Five Elephants, the Berry Morea. It's an Colombia roasted filter, a wash process, and the flavor profile are berry fruits and brandy, and that's exactly kicking in. And I froze this coffee about in January 2024, though start of this year, and it's perfect. It's like on January, so maybe we're getting into this a little bit later. I did it on my AeroPress. Yeah, nice, clean, good cup of coffee. Tom, what's in your cup today?
Well, this morning I had a natural Ethiopian from Nomad. There's from a Faisal Abdosh. Very nice, very tasty. I don't have as much to say. It seems like a long time ago now, but yeah, that's what I was having this morning. I normally make V60 in the morning, but yeah, I've been using one of the Gabby drippers as well, which has been a bit of fun.
So Tom, you're only drinking drip coffee, or are you also into espresso?
Mainly filter coffee at home. I do some espresso as well, but it kind of varies. At the moment, I'm more on the filter. I just find it a bit easier to share it as well. Like, I can just make one cup for two quite easily. I'd have to make like two shots.
Mm-hmm. You're only drinking coffee in the morning, or?
Mostly, yeah. Mostly in the morning. Before I leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to make another coffee in a thermos and take that with me to work.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than having to brew outside
great,
of the
great
house.
Great to hear. So you're rather on the bright side of filter life. So Chris, what are you having in your cup today?
Yeah, now I have to be very honest with you guys. I have a day-to-day normal coffee here. It's an blend Mexican, 70% Mexican Arabica and 30% Robusta from Guinea. The Arabica is a washed and the Robusta is in honey processed. It's from the Kaffeemacher. One really nice company from Switzerland, and it's just a day-to-day coffee, I would say. You can drink it all the time. It's nothing special, and I do normally drink it with milk as cappuccino, right? So nothing special if I hear what you're doing, guys. So Lars with the frozen ones and you with the Ethiopian, Tom. So it looks a little bit more sophisticated what you're doing. But that's how the world is, right? It's mixed. Yeah. Hey, Tom, do you like to talk a little bit about where you are and what the Manchester Coffee Archive is so that we can introduce the topic of Manchester Archive straight and direct from you?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Tom. I'm one of the co-founders of Manchester Coffee Archive. We founded it in November 2018. So it's myself and our two co-founders, Amy and Manny. I'd like previously done a tasting of frozen coffees at the local coffee festival. And it was like all of my favorite coffees from the year. And we did that, and then we thought, well, maybe we can do more with this. If we built up like a full archive of coffees, we could do like theme tastings. So after that, that's what we set about doing, like building an archive of coffees so we could do these themed tastings for the local community, and allow people to like taste things comparatively. So we set it up then. We've done quite a few tastings since then. But through setting that up, that made me want to think more about the best practices for freezing coffee. So that's what made me do like a bit of my own research and like a few of my own experiments, just to try and make sure we were doing it right, because we were intending on freezing hundreds of coffees. We didn't want them to all be going stale. So yeah, that was kind of the impetus behind it. It was like, yeah. Our last tasting was back in February. I've got loads of ideas of ones I want to do. Like, it's just a case of like organizing it. But so it's a bit of fun. And we try and keep our tastings quite relaxed. We're not selling anything. And so, I mean, sometimes we sell a t-shirt or something, but we're not selling the coffee. So we can have roasters, whichever roasters we want, and we can just put on whatever themes we want, really. I mean, our last one we did was all coffees from Diego Bermudez. Over a few years. I think we had like the first, a sample from the first one I'd had from El Paraiso. And even though that was one of the oldest ones, that was my favorite on the night. So
okay, let me ask some questions on that one. So you started it up 2018, you said. Yep. That's a very long time. You do these freezing of coffee. What comes to my mind is, how does this all look like? Have you a huge house with tons of freezers and endlessly power consumption to do this, or how can I imagine what it looks like, this archive?
Well, I kind of keep it quite secretive, actually. But people don't often ask. We do have, we've got two freezers at the moment that are just for coffee. We did have one. and then, to be honest, like the pandemic was a big factor, because we couldn't do our tastings during then. Mm-hmm. So, but I kept buying coffee. So I had to buy another freezer. we got just two freezers, and I keep it very organized, to try and maximize the space in there. We only freeze, 26 grams of each coffee.
Okay.
So I think we've got about 736, just roughly. And yeah, they're all just in, all organized. I know exactly where everything is, which is, handy. You have to have a system if you're trying to keep track of that much.
Yeah, so the key, one of the keys here is to freeze not 1 kilo, so you only freeze a small amount of grams, right? You said 26. Yeah. Why 26?
Well, it was 30. I brought it down a bit. It was, because I was freezing coffee before we set this up. So I was freezing, my idea was I'll freeze a bit of each coffee I have in the year, and then just as some fun for me, I'll just taste them at the end of the year. So I was freezing about what I'd use for 2 coffees. And then I brought it down to 26 because I thought that would be enough for 2 cups and a purge. And I've just sort of stuck with it now. I think at the moment we're using 18 grams. We're doing that 18 to 300. Mm-hmm. So, but it's stuck now. I can't, I don't really know. We probably only need 19, but just for consistency, that's what I keep it to. It fits very neatly in the boxes I use as well. So yeah, there's some thought behind it.
So maybe we can get a little sneaky picture out of your freezer to show the world how you're doing this huge amount of setup with, like, what you just said, 750 bags of coffee.
There's, well, on our website there's just to plug our website, there's a picture of it in the guide that I wrote about freezing. It's like the header for that. That's actually, I think, a picture of our first freezer, and in that one everything's organized in shoeboxes.
So we definitely we'll link them in the podcast. And we are straightly heading into our first section today. So we have wrapped up how the Manchester Coffee Archive is set up, and that you don't making any big revenue on this. So it's more like you came out of fun, had too much coffee during the pandemic, and started to freeze enough amounts. And I would call you somehow, therefore, You're going to be an expert in this kind of case, because like 750 bags of frozen bags in the freezer needs to be somehow controlled, right? Mm-hmm. And you need to have a good idea how to do all this off. So basically, when we would talk to a coffee lover who didn't hear anything about coffee freezing, so could you tell him, why should he freeze his coffees, and what advantages would be this kind of freezing for him in this case?
Yeah, so, I mean, let me have a bit of a think. I mean, freezing isn't for everyone. I will just say that at the top. Like, if you want to not freeze, that's fine. Like, I know that some people like to just keep one bag, they work through it, they kind of experience how it changes over time, and that's totally valid. But I think, like, one of the things that I really like about freezing is it lets you kind of stop the clock on how the coffee is aging. So I think, like, the main benefit for me is that you can stop the clock, and you can kind of come back to that coffee when you want, and you don't have to worry about it going stale. And I think that really opens it up to how you want to go through your coffees. Like, so if you buy a really fancy coffee, you don't have to have that every day. You can, you know, like, have it special occasions, have it the weekend, like, and I think that's great for people at home in particular. I think it just, makes it, gives you a lot of scope to be creative with when you drink everything. And like, one of the things is that, I mean, it reduces waste as well. So I don't actually remember what stale coffee tastes like, because I just haven't, everything I drink is frozen now. So I've never really had that for a few years. And so that's, yeah, that's one of the things for sure. There are some other benefits, potentially about the grind distribution and just how the coffee grinds, but that's not really something that I particularly know a lot about, and it's not something that I've really experienced that much. Like, I think the main thing for me is the workflow of it. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I see your point, and I would definitely underwrite this kind of, because if I'm looking back, when I started to freeze, it was more like, oh gosh, I have like 10 bags of super cool coffee because I had a subscription. Yeah. And I couldn't drink them all. And so I thought, okay, I totally need to start drinking more coffee and somehow wasting money with this, because I can't drink that much coffee and really like it in the end. Or I start freezing, and somehow I then had a look on how to freeze. I came up with the Coffee Manchester archive to grab some of the inspirations, and somehow it was really easy. And like you said, it's like stopping the clock. I think that's a really good bullet point for this kind of situation. But you know, sometimes you can't totally stop the clock, right? It's like you're slower the amount of going stale. And when I had a look on your website, you said like when you froze the coffee on day 7 after the roast, it will take about 2,070 days, so about, I rounded up, 6 years, to reach the same point of aging process when you would just leave it on the ambient temperature around. So my question is, how did you came up with these huge numbers?
Well, yeah, firstly, I definitely want to credit my sources for that. That number and that like theory, that's all from Michael Cameron, who's like basically the person who got me into freezing. Like, his he's known as Strive for Tone online, as well, his blog and his work with Barista Hustle as well was where I heard about it. And he's the one who kind of I learned about this from, and he learned it from Christopher Hendon, who explained the Arrhenius equation to him. And yeah, it's all kind of, yeah, it's a bit third hand, so it's not something that I came up myself, but the Arrhenius equation is something that basically describes how when you reduce the temperature, like biological processes are all happening a lot slower. So that one day in at room temperature equaling about 90 days in the freezer at minus 18 is all based on that, like this relationship between temperature and the biological processes. So if you took that temperature even lower, everything would slow down even more, and it's kind of just keeps decreasing until a certain point. So I thought that was a really nice way of visualizing it, because like that seems like such a ridiculous amount of time. Although, to be fair, I've probably got freezers, coffees in the freezer that are pushing 5 or 6 years now. So I'm not really sure how they're holding up.
And what would you say? Would this be like 5 or 6 years after you still say that's tasting good? Or do you have a really, like, you can taste a bigger difference or impact in like this long years after roasting and freezing?
Well, I think this is the thing that's still like a bit of an unknown. I pulled some coffee that had been in the freezer for about 5 years the other day, and it still tasted good, like still had a good bloom on it. I feel like that's a bit of an indicator of how fresh it is. So I think that is a bit of an unknown, but we'll find out in a few years' time. I mean, one thing as well is that even if you're not freezing, you'll hear people who you have just got a bag of coffee that has been at room temperature for 6 months or a year and it tastes great. So I think there are a lot of unknowns, but when I found this this 1 to 90 factor referenced by Michael Cameron and Christopher Hendon, that kind of made it make a bit more sense in my head. So yeah, it's quite a little handy thing to think about, but I don't know if it's not 100% like 100, probably not 100% accurate.
Yeah, but
it's like a rough guide.
Yeah, exactly. It's something we can orient on, and definitely I think everybody who has frozen coffee tasting then knows that it's very impressive if you have frozen coffee for a longer time, that it's much better to get it from the freezer than have it just by room temperature. You said there are people doing this and can have a good feeling or a good taste after 6 months. There are, I think, tons of people out there who will disagree with that one. Yeah, and there's a lot of meaning there outside, and a lot of people saying, "Oh, if your coffee is 3 months, then you can throw it in a trash bin." I'm not in this area, definitely. But I'm also not in this area of having like Lars tons of coffee in the freezer, or you. So my question is, I know there is no clear answer, but what do you think? How long can you freeze coffee till the point that it reaches some kind of tasteable stale factor? I'm not sure how to say. If you say, okay, the equation comes out with 5 to 6 years, you know, taste it after 5 to 6 years with no impact. Do you think you can do it again 5 years?
I mean, I've got coffees that I'm probably going to hold on to try and figure that out myself. I've still got like some of the coffees from 2018, which I kind of think I just want to keep this for like a decade or something, but I don't really know. Like I think that from the ones I tasted the other day, I mean, I'm not like a Q grader or anything, but they tasted good. So, and they were, yeah, I think five years, maybe 6 years old. So I think it's just something that we're gonna have to find out for ourselves. Like I've looked at the theory and I thought, well, that makes sense, but in practice, who knows? It'll be an exciting thing. I'm sure that there's a lot of people, I think, around the world who have got into freezing about the same time as me. So I think we've got some coffee freezers with coffees older than that. Maybe some of your listeners will have some.
Yeah.
Chime in.
It would be nice to get feedback on that one. I think also that we will follow you, definitely, the next decade. And we will look on the outcome of your tastings. So let me just pick up this topic of tastings just a moment, because you said in the beginning, tasting. It's... this coffee freezing thing is nothing without having these tastings. And you also mentioned you are not a Q grader, but that's a very important part here. Huh? If you do such kind of experiments, you have to taste the coffee from time to time to get some outcomes out of this. Yeah, I think everybody of us who is freezing coffee knows that it's much better to freeze than having by room temperature, but it's much more extreme to do tastings, probably also with other people. How do you doing this? You're just inviting people for this, or do you have some special people doing it again and again and again, so that you are calibrating your taste? Or
I mean, it's just anyone who will turn up. They're always like I say, we've only done one this year. We did prior to the pandemic, we had a run of quite a few. And then obviously it was on hold for some time. But no, the way we would do it is we would put together a theme and we'd just set up a free event. We initially did it with cupping bowls, and our last one, we changed our setup to use Hario switches. So we've got like 10 Hario switches. But yeah, we would just set up an event page and just invite people. And yeah, we did have quite a few people who would come, like, to all of them. Like, I know of a few people who've been to almost all of them. I think it's just anyone who... It's just open to anyone who's just interested in tasting coffee, really. Like, we didn't target people in the industry at all. Just we'd have people turn up who'd never been to anything like that before, and that was always really cool. Those are kind of my favorite things, is when it's doing like a coffee tasting with people who've never done a coffee tasting is really fun. Like, I really enjoy it.
Definitely. And that's like a big community aspect, as well as a big event to show the people how different coffee can taste. So yeah, that's also a great step you're doing this and inviting people to come just by.
No, I was just gonna say I'd love to do more. Like, it's just finding the time, really. Like, I think that's the limiting factor is something that I'd kind of fit in my spare time. But yeah, one of the things that we try and do is we try and keep like the sort of introductions pretty minimal. Like, we just get started with the tasting pretty much as soon as we can, which can be refreshing if you've ever been to like industry tastings. Well, there's a lot of chat beforehand. Everyone just wants to taste the coffee.
The chat afterwards is mostly the more important part, to say what was a good coffee and what was maybe not my favorite, right?
Yeah.
So we've heard a lot of the basics right now, to how long can you freeze, what is the taste quality out of this. Freezing is more or less like stopping the clock on the aging process, and this kind a little bit minimalistic set. But we don't know now, right, how to get started into freezing in all these kinds of. So can you give us a little wrap up to say, like, how would you go on and freeze your coffee you're having at home?
Okay, yeah. So I think, like, initially, I'm going to sound like I'm overcomplicating this, but initially you just have to think about what your purpose is. Like, if it's... like the example you said before, where you've just bought too much coffee, and you want to just keep hold of that. Like, one thing you can do is just get the bag and seal up the valve with a bit of tape and just put it in the freezer, and that will be good. That will work well. So that is an option for if you just want to preserve like a large amount of coffee. Like, you don't necessarily have to vacuum seal it or anything. What I tend to do is, I'll get the bag, I'll just tape up the valve, I'll put it in a Ziploc bag. If you can get like those Ziploc bags which have two Ziplocs in them, they're quite easily available. Like, that gives you a nice good seal on that. And that's the easiest way. All you need is a bit of tape and you're good to go. If you are wanting to have the coffee like free, single dosed, so it's ready to go, like, that's very popular as well. And you can, for that, you can get some little containers and dose out your doses. The like centrifuge tubes are quite common for that, because they hold about 20 to 22 grams, which is quite convenient. But you can get, there's loads of types of containers you can use. You kind of pick something that suits the dose. So if you use a smaller dose, you get like a smaller container. There's a bit of information about this on our website for anyone who wants that. So then you'd have all of your coffees single dose ready to go, and that's quite handy as well. But it does take up a bit more room in your freezer, so that's a good option. The vacuum sealers are very common, and that's the good thing about that is that you're getting all of the extra air out before you freeze. So it kind of makes sense to do that. But I don't think it's 100% necessary. It's something which I think probably was more common initially than now, because the problem that you have with that is you end up with a lot of plastic waste. And it's also, can take some time to single dose loads of little bags of coffee. But that is that's what I do for stuff that I'm going to hold on to for a few years. I'll vacuum seal it normally. But yeah, those are the three sort of main options. But I mean, my current workflow is for something that I'm going to, a coffee that I'm going to use sort of on and off. I'll decant the whole bag into two, 250 ml bottles. And then the last little bit, I'll decant that into a 60 ml container. And that will hold the whole bag. And then I'll put those with the packaging inside a Ziploc bag, and I'll put that in my freezer. And that's when I want to dose out some coffee, I'll just take the bottle, decant it out, seal the lid back on, put it back, and that's what I've been doing for a few years now, and it works great. It's very quick to set up, don't need any equipment, and it's a really good option. It does take up a little bit of room, but that's my workflow at the moment.
Hey, Tom, let me ask you, you talk about bottles. Are you really talking about bottles, like bottles of beer or wine or something like that? Or are you only pointing on glass?
Oh, yeah, the ones I use, it's funny, they're actually maple syrup bottles. It's a little bit like a sauce bottle with, the little metal lid with the lining on the inside.
Yeah, sure.
Do you know the ones I mean? And what's good about those is that they've got a bit of a wider mouth than a beer bottle.
Okay.
So you can pour the coffee straight in, or you can pour it straight out. But it doesn't have, it's not like a big jar, so you're not getting so much air in, I don't think. So that's quite handy. I ended up just saving quite a lot of them up. They're just ones that I've kind of cleaned. But you can buy things like that if you don't want to go through loads of maple syrup. You can buy, if you look for 300 milliliter glass bottles, you'll find them somewhere like eBay or something like that, and they're just a really handy size. I find they hold about 100 grams of coffee, which is quite cool.
Okay, understand. Yeah, that's let's say a good it's in the middle of having a huge glass, which a wide opening, and having a small one. So I understand there are sometimes also milk bottles like that. I'm not sure. But I know these syrup bottles, and you do it because it's so handy and sustainable, and you don't have to have a lot of plastic trash.
It's mainly because it's just quick and easy to do. Yeah. It's something which I haven't actually written about this online at all. It's something that I keep meaning to write something about, but I don't know if it makes sense for me. Mm. I don't know how much sense it makes to other people, but I just think it works quite well. Yeah, like that's the workflow that I'm using at the moment. But there's lots of different ways you can do it. How do you freeze your coffee, Lars?
Yeah,
I'm right. Curious.
I just wanted to take over this because the maple syrup bottle is like a game changer for me right now, because I have likely 10 to 20 bags with 250 grams, which I vacuum sealed. And yeah. The issue is I need to make cut it open and take all out, right? Or yeah. Unfreeze it. And I don't have the possibility to put it back in my freezer without like having 2, 3, or 4 minutes beside of it to like freeze it again and to don't get so much moisture in it. So... yeah, basically, I've started with the tubes, like with 20 to 22 grams, and after I got too much coffee, I've learned that, like you said, I got too much storage in the freezer for this, and I started to consume all the tubes to get more space in my freezer again, and I started to freeze the whole bags, like I've got around 10 kilograms of each with 1 kilogram espresso roast, because I know I use a lot less espresso roast because I know when I put out 1 kilogram bag of espresso, it's roughly taking around 2 or 3 months, where I would say the flavor is still okay for me because I'm using darker roasts and not light roasts. But I have exactly this kind of issue, and I think the maple syrup situation is a great one to think about. So yeah.
Yeah. It's been so long since I've used kind of vacuum seal bags that I kind of forgot about this. But if you vacuum seal, like, say, a whole bag and together, you can just sort of snip a little bit of the top of the seal and decant out, and then you can vacuum seal again. If you wanted to do that, that can be quite good. But with the thing you're saying about condensation, yeah, like I think if you want to repackage, if say you've got a bag of coffee in your freezer and you want to repackage it into smaller containers, what I tend to do is I'll take the bag out and let it come to room temperature for like an hour or so until all the condensation's formed on it, and then I'll wipe that off and I'll just decant it like that. It's fine to refreeze it, I think. I mean, again, I'm not aware of any comprehensive study into this, but I think it's probably fine. To refreeze. Does that make sense? Like,
sure.
Trying to understand your workflow there.
Yeah, I'm not into that as deep as Lars is. Probably he can say some words if it makes sense, but I have a question afterwards. So Lars,
yeah?
Make it sense from your side.
It's definitely making sense. We're coming later on to the myth and misunderstandings about the coffee freezing. So I would put this kind of situation back. But I think really what you said, you need to understand why you want to freeze your coffee is the important part to start. I mean, it's not that important. You always can change it if you want to. But to say, do I want to have a single dosing or do I want to have a reduction of my flavor loss and use the bag afterwards and then start over? And yeah, like we heard, there is not much of a starting point of issue. So you can just go to your local dealer, buy a bag of coffee and put some tape over the valve, and then you're ready to freeze. So there is nothing you need to extra buy for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's totally right. I mean, I feel like now when I used to have a kind of shelf of coffee, like now I just have my shelf of resting. So once a coffee's rested, it goes in my freezer, and then I treat that as that's where I'm getting my coffee from. Like, if I want a new coffee, I go to the freezer and I know that they're all rested and all ready to go. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to, like, you don't really want to get into single dosing or looking for containers and all that. You could just use that as your workflow. Just when you want a new coffee, you've got it there in the freezer. You just take it out and use it normally. There's no... it's limited just by your imagination. There's so much you can do with it. It's really amazing. I like to say that my freezer is my favorite piece of coffee equipment.
That's nice. There are definitely some people out there who will see this one also different. but I understand, especially the point you talked about that you let your coffee rest first and then freeze, because then it's ready to drink if you take it out of the freezer. But let me probably I'm the only one who likes to go back one step, but let me go back to these what's the best way of coffee freezing. So you said you're using these jars. It's totally understandable why, and yes, it's dependent on what you like to do with the coffee, single dosing or not, long-term archiving of huge amounts and stuff like this. And I like what I hear here is let me phrase it a different way. As I started to think about all these topics on freezing, there was this status quo of you have to vacuum seal plastic bags, and this is the only solution which works because it's without air. And this is the very best. There's nothing which can compare. Now, if I hear more about these topics, I see there are different other ways, this is, I think, a good way. Is there anything you like to point out, which are the mistakes which you definitely should avoid on freezing coffee?
I completely understand what you're saying. Like, when it was the same when I started freezing, I thought I've got to vacuum seal everything. There's no alternative. But if we kind of recall this thing about the one day equaling 90 days, as long as it's in the freezer, you're off to a good start. So everything's going to be happening much slower as long as it's in the freezer. The main things that you're trying to do when you're packing it up is you're trying to keep out the air that's in the freezer from getting into contact with your coffee, because it might be a bit damp, or it might have some like off aromas in there depending on what you've got in your freezer. So you're trying to minimize that. You're trying to reduce the air in the container to a certain extent. And that's where vacuum sealing has got a benefit to it, because when you vacuum seal, you're taking out a lot of the air, but you're not taking out all of it. I think with a normal domestic vacuum sealer, I think it's about 70%. So it'll squash it right down, but there's still some air in there, like, and you've still got oxygen there. Yeah, you're trying to keep the air that's in the freezer out. You're trying to reduce your headspace in the bag. And the other thing is to make sure that your seal, you've got a good seal on there. So with the vacuum seal, you have like that heat seal on it. But with a container, it's more about how you've got a nice lid on there, like a tight-fitting lid, because you need to think about that when you're deciding how to store it. But I don't know if there's, I mean, the best way of storing it will be the way that will keep the freezer air out and have a good seal on it. So that's where vacuum sealing is quite popular. And I think initially that's sort of purported as like the gold standard method, but it's all a case of diminishing returns in my opinion. I mean, as long as it's in the freezer, it's going to be aging a lot, lot slower. And if it's not in contact with moisture, then it's not going to be affected by that. So I wouldn't say that you necessarily have to vacuum seal to get the benefits from it. I think the only reason I vacuum seal for our archive is because it takes up less room. Because if you vacuum seal, you take out all the unnecessary space. So it is quite good for that. If you've got limited space, then a vacuum sealer probably is a good option because you can fit more coffee in your freezer. But yeah, I think those, as long as it's got a good seal on it, that's all that you really need to worry about. In terms of quality.
Yeah, sorry for interrupting.
No.
So from my perspective, to sum this one up, keep the moisture out, keep the air out as much as possible, and cool it down as much as possible is a key, and not to use this or that method in general, right?
Yeah. I mean, all of the steps for packing it up are basically to make sure there's a seal between the coffee and the freezer air. Like, that's, I think, a good way to think about it. You're just trying to achieve that one thing, and if you do that, you'll be doing well.
Mm-hmm. And if you take the original bags, then you said it's important, or you think it's better way to use some tape for the ventil, right? Ventil.
The valve on the back.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, it's good when there isn't a valve, because then you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's, I think, something that's sort of going around currently as to whether or not we really need that valve. But if it does have one, although it's meant to be a sort of one-way valve, they're not perfect, so they might leak some air in. Especially if you squash the bag down, it's a little bit more likely it'll kind of suck that freezer air in. So I tend to tape that up, just pop it in. Be good to go.
Maybe I can give two situations in this. You can imagine Lars right now, where you're having a metal straw, where I sucked out all of the air of the Ziploc. It was a really funny situation, especially if you like suck out the air of 30 bags. I wouldn't recommend this anyway. But coming to the valve situation, because I had this on my own, you really need to have first a good tape you need to do, because in the freezer, I didn't expect this, the glue is hardening. And sometimes the tape is coming off of the valve. So what you're trying to achieve in the freezer is, like, with the tape, that there is no air, moisture, etc. is going in. But when the tape is slowly getting off because the glue is hardening, because maybe the tape isn't a good one, or you didn't use enough tape, that's also a mistake on my side, I found out. So just to think about this, I just putting like 20 tapes over it to hold it. But
That's a good tip.
And I think you don't use Tesafilm or stuff like this, so you probably use some kind of duct tape or...
I use the cheap one.
So I always use duct tape for everything, I think that's not hardening, but I have no clue. You guys out there have to try out the very best, what is fitting for you. There's one topic which is probably also on this area, and this is these, you said it, to let the coffee rest first and then freeze it in. Is it a must, or is it just convenient, or?
I actually had one more thing to say about tape, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
One thing that works quite well for me is electrical tape. It's like about the right width for the valve, and I also find that if you do the tape in combination with the Ziploc bag, that's good, because you're not going to be rubbing up against it and accidentally rubbing it off, because it can go a bit brittle. But yeah, I've no experienced any issues like that myself. But the other thing as well is when you are using the original bag, it's important to make sure it's either plastic lined or is a plastic bag, because the paper craft paper bags, those are going to be no good. They're going to let a bunch of air in. So in that case, I'd probably use two, like double bag it. But yeah, sorry, that's all I have to say about that now.
No, it's totally fine. So double bag it.
If it's a really, really fancy coffee, sometimes I'll like triple bag it, and it's all just, I'm just getting worried.
But it's again it's against the sustainability idea, right? If you have three bags around the bag,
you can reuse them though.
You're
I've been reusing those same bags for a long time now. Got a lot of them.
How is your opinion on these? Let the coffee rest and then freeze it, or is it okay to freeze it right from the beginning? Do you have some experience and tasted differences here if you do it this or that way?
I mean, I feel like resting is something that is a bit of an ongoing conversation, really. It comes up quite a lot. People have different opinions on it. And I think with the way freezing kind of comes into this is because you're just stopping the clock. You need to kind of pick how long you want to rest it for. I personally tend to rest most, because I'm mostly drinking quite light roasts, mostly rest for about 3 weeks. But that's just a number that I've seen people recommend. Like some roasters will recommend now, which is really handy. And the kind of 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks thing comes up a bit. I think from what I can tell, when you put the coffee in the freezer, it essentially stops resting. I mean, that's just my own observation, because if I vacuum seal something, it will stay quite tightly packed, if you know what I mean. Like, it doesn't look like it's puffing out again. And if I get a coffee and I freeze it straight away, it's not something I've done recently, but I have taken coffees out where I've only rested it a little while and it's had quite a big bloom on it, making me think maybe I should have rested that a bit longer. But resting is something that I still don't understand very well myself. I kind of take the lead from things I hear, and there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions on this. But
yeah, I mean, we can't cover all the topics, right? Because basically freezing, resting, roasting, green beans from the farmer are all different huge topics. But when I would like to have one last view about the effects on taste and quality when you're freezing the coffee, because we are just talking about a normal roasted coffee bean right now. But if we are really deep into this case, we have different kind of coffee beans. Like, we have Arabica, we have Canephora, we have Liberica, and all of this we could also have in decaf one, right? So do you know, or do you have any experiments done with this kind of cases that you have an Arabica differently to an Arabica decaf, for example, where you saw impact about the freezing? Because what I know, for example, is that decaf stales a lot faster, at least what I have read in the internet, and what I've had for myself at home as well.
That's interesting. I mean, I've not done any experiments myself to compare, different types of coffee. As far as I'm concerned, they're probably all acting pretty similarly, as long as I mean, one thing that's good about roasted coffee is it has a really, really low water content. So it's not even actually freezing. It's just really cold. So, and it, as far as I can tell, as long as it's once it's roasted, it's all going to be acting pretty similarly. But again, it's not something I've really tested myself. I mean, the good thing, like you say, with decaf, I mean, you've got the, if it is a coffee that ages quicker, that's even more reason to put in the freezer. Because as long as you've kind of established when it's tasting good, if you put it in the freezer then, you should be good to drink that coffee for longer than if you hadn't froze it. So, yeah, that's a really good benefit right there.
that's what I did with decaf on my side, to be honest, because I know I don't have much decaf to consume at home, and sometimes someone wants a cappuccino with a decaf, and I tell them, oh, wait, I'm going to the freezer and getting a frozen decaf. And they're always, oh, you freeze your coffee? And I said, yeah, because else it's getting stale.
That's a really good use for it. I think, like, I really like that. Because even if, you didn't freeze coffee to make your day-to-day drinking of coffee more, to change that, it's a good option to have that just for that situation. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. I think decaf is a topic. I think James Hoffman did a huge experiment on decaf coffee currently. For me, it's also, as Lars said, decaf coffee is very fast staling. That's not so good. I think for decaf simply alone, it is a good idea to freeze. Is there a huge difference if you freeze coffee in a real freezer or put it simply in the fridge?
It's not something that I've tested. I sometimes think about that, and I think that would be interesting to test. But the problem I find is, when trying to test something like this, it's really hard. you have to collect a lot of samples, and you have to do it all blind, and you have to have somebody who's good at tasting, and it's very difficult. Over the years we've tested a few little things, but that's not something that I've tested myself. Maybe that will be the next revelation, that actually keeping in the fridge is fine. I've just been wasting my time using a freezer. I suppose it would be the same kind of principles that we get the one day equaling 90 days. It would maybe just be, I can't work that out in my head, but I imagine you'd get some benefit as long as you're keeping that kind of fridge air out. But I've not seen anyone test it. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to do that,
yeah,
please let me know.
Exactly. It all comes back to tasting afterwards. Huh? You can do as much as you like to do experiments here and there, but if you don't do the tasting afterwards, it's not really worse. Huh?
Yeah.
We talked now a lot about putting coffee beans into the freezer, and I think in the beginning you said that you do unfreeze coffee and refreeze coffee again. So I think probably we can tackle that topic again a little bit. What's here your recommendation? I've heard about, if you freeze coffee, the best way is you put it frozen into the machine and don't wait till it's on room temperature again. And if you do this, then the aromas will be gone very fast. And if you then refreeze it, you lose all of these benefits. What's your opinion on that one?
So, yeah, specifically with refreezing, I think I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. I think it's probably fine. And I know that sounds really not very helpful, but we did test this a little bit a long time ago. We just did it with one sample where I think I refroze the same coffee like 8 times or something, and we just did like a side-by-side tasting, and we couldn't really tell much difference. But then that's just one sample, and it's but that gave, I mean, at the time that gave me some comfort. I thought, oh, this is good. But yeah, I think it's probably just something not to worry too much about. And I know that's kind of hard to say, but I think the thing with it is, really moisture is the thing that I try and avoid, like because when you're moving around, like, some frozen coffee, you'll get moisture on not the coffee itself but on the containers, and yeah, you just have to be a bit careful of that. And that kind of comes up when you're refreezing, because particularly glass, like as soon as you take that out of the freezer, you'll get loads of condensation on it, and then if you're trying to dose that out and refreeze it, you have to be careful not to, for example, don't have water on your hands and you go handling the beans, because that can potentially damage the coffee. You don't want it to get it wet. So yeah, I think that's something to maybe think about. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you can just refreeze it as much as you like. So yeah, in the absence of any hard data on this, I would say to not worry about it.
And if you put the frozen beans into the grinder, can we get rid of these RDT methods so we don't have to spray water on it and it don't get these statics? Do you have experience with that one? So I can try it on my own, but I didn't do till now. So it would be a benefit also, huh? if you put the frozen beans in. And I remember I saw some pictures from America, I think Proud Mary or stuff like this. They have a fridge over the grinder, something like this. I remember some kind of pictures here floating around.
That's a freezer. That's a big long freezer. They have an amazing workflow there where they, I mean, they're not, as far as I know, they don't vacuum seal anything. They just use these big glass bottles to store all their coffee in like a chest freezer. And then when they want to use one of the coffees on their bar, they transfer that to that freezer above the above all their grinders, and yeah, so the bottle is in the freezer but the grinder isn't. They just cut holes in their freezers. It's amazing. I really like that. But with the RDT thing, I think I still spray all my coffee with water, because if you get some coffee out of your freezer, you might notice that it doesn't actually form condensation on the actual beans. It's the wrong kind of surface, because it's a porous surface. You don't get any moisture forming on it. So if you are wanting to add some water for grinding purposes, you still need to do that. One thing that I really like, though, is that if you've got quite a fast grinder, the grounds come out cold, which I quite like.
Yeah, that's also a topic. Yeah, if you have too much temperature while grinding, then it should be also impact the taste, the aromas, I heard. Well, I never tasted it.
Yeah, the aroma thing is, I feel like my sensory ability is not good enough to detect any of these differences. I mean, from what I recall, when things are cold, you can't, I think you can't smell them as much. I know that sounds really, that might be a bit basic, but that might be where it comes from. I'm not too sure. But yeah, One thing that I definitely do recommend is that if, particularly for espresso, is to, if you're going to freeze the coffee, you have to dial in from the frozen coffee, because any small changes in grinding are going to affect your shots. So you need to have that initial dial in with it frozen, because it will be a little bit different. It will just act a bit differently. And yeah, like I said, if with filter coffee, if you grind it, it'll come out and it'll be cold. So that might potentially affect your bloom temperature, if that's something that you're looking into. If you're blooming with cooler water, it's going to be even cooler with frozen coffee. So it's, I think that's where it's helpful to just do it all the same way all the time. Like, if you're always freezing it, then it's going to be consistent in that way.
Yeah, it shows definitely a lot of things to think about, because I totally wouldn't even notice the blooming situation with colder coffee, but you're totally right. So, but also to mention, when you're grinding frozen coffee beans, the opinion out there is that you need to grind a little bit finer because all of the beans. But I think that's worth a new experiment in this kind of. But we are already in the experimental situation, like here on the expert section, and we've already talked a little bit about the one coffee bar which having like the grinder below of the huge fridge in this case, or the huge freezer, and I think that's one of the changes that's incoming, because we all want to have great fresh coffee with a great quality kind. And if you're having a coffee bar where you like having 20 different coffees and 15 out of them are always bought by the consumer and 5 out of them not, they are going stale, and you need maybe to throw them in the bin. So or maybe can't sell them anymore, like on this high quality level. And I think especially on the third wave coffee movement in this case, that's a really cool idea to preserve all of the aromas and the freshness and the quality of cup in this case. And it's also beneficial for the work of the farm in the end, because they had all of the work to do, right, to get that grade of coffees in the end to the consumer on our side. Do you know maybe more about different technologies or methods that are used outside where we didn't come across right now?
Technology in relation to freezing, let me think. I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
So Tom, let me jump in here. There is one thing comes to my mind, which I read on your homepage, and it's injecting gas into the bottles, packages, zip bags, glasses, whatever. So what about that one? Injecting helium or CO2 or whatever?
I'd forgotten I even wrote that. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, I mean, that's like injecting containers with inert gas is definitely something that I think a few roasters do that for their retail coffee to keep it really fresh. In relation to freezing, it's something which I sort of looked into a little bit, but I keep just coming back to this idea of, well, if everything's happening that much slower anyway, do we really need to bother with like extending it even further with like injecting gas in there? I think it might have some effect, because that layer of carbon dioxide or nitrogen or something like that is going to keep the coffee fresh. But it's more of a concern at room temperature, I would have thought. It's not something which I've thought about for a while. But I mean, it would just add to how long the coffee is lasting for, I suppose. It's definitely something you could try. You get those things that people use for wine as well, where they're injecting nitrogen to replace the air with, I think it's nitrogen. Mm. And you could do that for coffee. It might work, but in my case, it's all in the freezer anyway, so I tend to not bother at the moment.
Yeah, one trend I've also read in the internet, and this case was quite new to me, but it made a lot of sense afterwards. I hear that roasteries are freezing their roasted coffee beans, because when they buy a replenishment from the farmer in the next year, they maybe want to knowledge about what has been differently on this kind of a batch they've got from the farmers out there. So they freeze 2023, for example, and get a new fresh bags in 2024, and they can have a look how differently is the coffee. And we don't talk about good or bad in this case, or better or work or something like this. It's just like what impact maybe has been done on the farmer or the wetter seasoning, how can this be relate in the years or in the staling process, right? So that was like, man, when all of these roasters are doing this, that's a great feedback also for the farmers in the end, because the farmers can then also understand how their coffees were differently in the different years in this kind of case, right?
Mm. Yeah, that's definitely something that could be useful for roasters. I know that some roasters will just freeze their green coffee, and there's a few that do that I'm aware of, but yeah, it's definitely an option. I mean, we've built up samples of the same farm year on year for quite a few farms, and mainly because I just like to buy from the same farms. But yeah, potentially for a roaster, it's a really, really interesting way to see how the coffees have changed. Yeah,
great.
I think raw coffee beans freezing in stuff, it's an endless topic, but I think we touched so much now, it's probably good to have a small wrap up here. Tom, probably you have these one important tip for our coffee lovers out there if they think about freezing coffee, to conclude that one, or if you have three good tips, it would be also nice, so that we can close here with some good tips from your practices.
Okay, yeah, I feel like I've talked a lot about containers. I talk a lot about containers, but I think I do have a few kind of tips. I mean, I've touched on it a little bit already, but my main thing is, if you want to get into freezing, just don't worry too much about the stuff that you see people saying online. Maybe even including me. It's gonna be better in the freezer than out the freezer, in my opinion. So yeah, don't worry too much. I think, like, think about what you want from your workflow, and think about what kind of size, if you want to do the single dosing thing, like, think about what size containers you want to use. Like centrifuge tubes are really popular, but I personally don't like them because they fall over, and that really annoys me. So there's loads of information on our website about this, so yeah, I'd recommend checking that out if you want to see, like, lots of information about containers. This hasn't been enough for you. Just trying to think what else. I think that's my main thing, is to not worry too much. Like, just if you're getting into freezing, you're going to be on the right track. Just keep that freezer air out, and make sure all your bags are sealed or your containers have lids on them. And it's going to be great. And I think another thing is to try and set yourself a sort of hard limit on how much of your freezer you're going to use for coffee. It's very easy for me to say this.
I feel this.
I think what's... I completely understand that some people will just not have room in their freezer for coffee. That is fine. In that case, you might be able to pick up a little small freezer that you'll just use just for coffee. They are quite cheap to get hold of in comparison to some of the coffee stuff that we all spend a lot of money on. But I mean, if you've got you just want to use a little bit of a freezer, maybe like your top drawer of your kitchen freezer, maybe that's your coffee drawer now. I think that's what I have in the kitchen. I have the top drawer, that's coffee. And yeah, I don't stray into the other drawers mostly. And then there's just the two freezers in the basement, and that's my hard limit. I mean, I've got the third freezer, but that's a backup, and it's not on.
Okay, if we talk another hour, then there comes out the fourth and the fifth freezer somewhere, huh?
It's only four. Yeah, I do have a backup freezer, but it's not on. It's just in case.
Yeah, that's always good. You always need a backup. That's very important. No backup, no mercy, I always say. So Tom, thank you very, 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 very much. It was a very interesting and a very good topic here. What I take here is don't throw away coffee. In any case, never do that. Throw it into the freezer. Let's take it this way. I'm so lucky that we have had this conversation here. There is so much in. There is your homepage. We will link it on the on our show notes. And definitely, if you guys out there have different experience, give us a note, give us an email, give us a shout out. We are interested in different opinions here, right? So from my perspective, I like to thank you, Tom, very, very, very much. Yeah, Lars, up to you.
Yeah, Tom. I mean, basically the Bean Conqueror implementation was based on your articles in the internet. So that's why we are all here together, because that's so much information with such great impact for our daily lives. Or for my daily life from freezing perspective, to give the value back for all who is working in the whole coffee chain, I would say. So thanks for making all this possible. Thanks for making the public tasting. Thanks for your thrilled love for freezing coffee beans and spreading that out here. And thanks for taking the time. And we will get to you back in a decade to talk about 10 years or more frozen coffees. Thanks, Tom.
Well, thank you for having me. I got to say as well, Bean Conqueror is so handy for me. It's such a good way of knowing what I've got in my freezer. thank you so much. Like I say, there's a load of information on our website. If anyone wants to do any experiments to compare anything, there's a experiment method on there that is drafted, which will help you compare anything you want, like vacuum seal, reusables, whatever. You will need a fair bit of coffee, and yeah, but it's all laid out for you. I just don't have the time to do it. So yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Dankeschön.
Dankeschön. Tom. Wow. Thanks again. And huge thanks go out to all the listeners who followed us here. And from my side, all the best to all of you. And always a good coffee to your side, probably a frozen one in the future. And let us close down here. Okay. Cheers. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.